This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the War Room at BPN Radio. Every night at 11:30 Texas time, so that's, is it CET or something? I'm not sure. No, CET is Central European time. CDT, Central, whatever, Texas time. Yeah, Texas time, middle of the country, 11:30 on BPN Radio. Okay, we're going to talk today about the history of spiritual warfare. And there's quite an awful lot to sort of look at and to go through. Now, what is the purpose of these series of talks? Just to sort of reiterate, and let me do this every day. One of them is that we need to respond to what is going on. What many of us Christians don't realize, many of us Bible-believing Christians don't realize, or maybe realize, but we don't live according to it, and that is that we are in a state of war. And we need to fight this battle, not with weapons of flesh, but with spiritual weapons. It's a spiritual battle, and some people may say it's a word of wars, but it's much more. Okay, our enemy is in the invisible world, is the devil. The object of our battle, the conquest we are looking after, are souls of men, to snatch them out of the devil's hand and into the kingdom of God. This is the war we are looking at, and this is the battle we are fighting. And again, one of the things, I mentioned this before, what I've seen over the years, especially over the last 20 years, that the church has sort of, shall I say, keeled over, lied on his back, and gave up. Yeah, and it's wrong. We shouldn't. And I think the last sort of uprising of the church in the West, and I'm not talking about, I know when you look at the church in some of the persecuted parts of the world, it's a very different scenario there. But when I look at the churches, the Bible-believing, real Christian, born-again Christian churches in Europe and in America, I very much got the impression that there's been a spirit of defeatism. We've been defeated. It's over. You know, the enemy has won. They've run over. Yeah, and we need to rise up. We don't need to let this happen, and we should not let it happen, because we've been called to fight, and we've been called to fight this battle right until the time when our Lord comes back, which I can assure you is not a long time to go. He will come back soon. When? I don't know, but he will come back. Okay, still need to apologize. I'm sort of trying to get the cough button here, but I haven't got it. See whether I can edit some of it out. I'm still suffering from the aftermath of a flu, and sort of talking quite a bit is difficult. But we will try and push this through. Okay, a little bit of a war as well, a little bit of a battle as well. When you had it, this is not quite where it should be. But it's getting better. I'm on the mend, so the Lord be thanked for that. Okay, let's have a look. Okay, the battle started right at the beginning, and we're gonna go through the history of what has been going on, and we can sort of see a pattern emerging when we look at how the church has been attacked, or the people of God have been attacked from day one, literally. And okay, we're gonna go right back to the book of Genesis, and we've got the fall of man. We've got Adam and Eve, and Eve took and ate from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And what we have is that that a curse was placed on Eve. And this curse, there was also a curse placed on the snake. And that's what I want to just zoom in on. And it pretty much tells us what's going on ever since this day. And he said, God said to the snake, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So what we find there is that there is some reference here to Jesus Christ, or what was going to happen on the cross, where the heel of Jesus was bruised and yet the power of Satan was broken at the cross. Okay, it goes on from then on. You know, we've got the two sides. When we go through Genesis, we've got the godly seed and the godly ancestry, and we've got the ungodly ancestry. And we can see this through the different genealogies which are presented to us in the book of Genesis. And one of the first things which happens is right in the next generation. Somehow they knew that, you know, as Adam and Eve sinned, that there was, even though, you know, that day they will surely die. And if you look at it in Hebrew, the curse was dying, you shall die. And it's very often translated as you will surely die. And what we find there is that that something happened, and something had to die for them to not die that very day, but that they died on the, let's call it the divine day. You know, they didn't make 1,000 years, but they didn't die on the first day either. And what you find is that God clothed them with some sheepskin. So a sheep had to die for their sin. And right in there, I mean, it's not, you know, it's implied, it's not outrightly stated in Genesis, but right there, there was a sacrifice that's being made to gratify the wrath of God, and that was a sheep. And the sheepskin was used for them to be clothed with, and right there and then we've got another thing which pointed to another image, another symbol which pointed to the death of Christ and to the Lamb of God that had to be slaughtered for the forgiveness of sin. Something innocent had to die for the guilty, and we find this in Genesis. And so people knew at the time that that if you wanted to pacify God, you would have to use a sheep, because that is what God has done to not kill Adam and Eve on that very day, when they sinned and when they trespassed. Okay, so what was happening is that two boys were born. There was Abel and there was Cain. And Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer. And there was a time when they both decided to make a sacrifice, an offering to God. And Abel took the sheep, you know. That's just a procedure, just the thing which, you know, God had instituted right at the beginning with his parents. You sin, something has to die for your sin. And Cain said, no, Abel is a farmer, you know, he does all the farming stuff, and I'm gonna offer God of the stuff myself and I have produced. And so he gave them, he gave God an offering, but not on God's terms, but on his terms, because that was Cain's religion. And at the time, I mean, from the information we have in Genesis, these guys knew what they had to do. And if Cain wanted to use his, you know, his labor, the fruit of his labor, to bless God with it, he should have given some of it to Abel and say, Abel, send me one of your sheep. And I'm sure he would have done it. He was a righteous man. And he would have had a sheep, and he would have then offered the sheep to God. Now, the story goes that God was pleased with the sacrifice Abel made, but he wasn't pleased with the offering Cain gave to God. God wasn't pleased with Cain, and Cain was angry about it. Cain was angry about it, and when Cain challenged God and he said, look, if you do the right thing, you know, will I not be pleased with it? And again, the interpretation very often is, you know, Cain was a bit of a rascal and he, you know, he wasn't doing the right stuff and it's all to do with sin and stuff like that. And it may be right. Yeah, I'm not contesting this interpretation for this particular scripture, but I would go one step further. I would say he didn't approach God in the way God wanted to be approached. Yeah. Let me just repeat this. He didn't approach God in the way God wanted to be approached. God wanted to be approached by what he had instituted right at the beginning. You know, a lamb had to be sacrifice, something innocent for the guilty, pointing to Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice at the cross a few thousand years later at the time. And he didn't do it. He did it his own way. And that was, again, a big deception. It was an arrogance and a deception, and that's what we find today as well. And this is one of the war we are fighting. The people come up with their own religion. They want to please God in their way. It's a bit like Frank Sinatra singing, "I'll do it my way." And that is just, I think it's the nature of man. People just want to do it their way, not God's way. And I'm looking into our day and age, and you can see this throughout history. The people who come to God, like Abel, they try to sincerely seek out what God really wants, and they take it on board, and they humble themselves before God, and they do it the way God wants it to be done in their lives. They approach God on the terms God has set out. And then you've got people who say, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. Okay, let me just go back to Cain a little bit. What Cain did in essence is he sacrificed to God of something which God had cursed. God had cursed the ground for the sake of man. And Cain grew from the ground, which was cursed, and gave it to God. Okay, let me just take this one step further. Very often what we are doing, yeah, and again, this is where this whole warfare thing comes in. We make up our own religions. And I can find this within biblical Christianity. I can find this within the world. I can see this in alternate or alternative religions, where people make up their own rules, and they make up their own religions, but then it goes even further. They sacrifice to God from what God has cursed. They sacrifice to God from their flesh. They put themselves through great torment, through great rituals. I've got a friend who is a Jehovah's Witnesses, and he puts me to shame. The energy he puts into his cult, the amount of time he spends, and the amount of sacrifice he goes to. Is just incredible, yeah. And I look at him as far as his works are concerned, as an example. His faith, though, is going to get him into hell, and to me, it's very, very hard. He's a good guy. I like him. I love him, and he has got a good family. He's got a good wife, a good daughter, and they're all really, really nice people, but they're just following a lie. Yeah, they have demeaned Jesus from who he is to some kind of angel, and they have stripped away the message of the gospel, and they try to please God through works. And even then, they don't have the ultimate hope. They need to be similar to the Catholics. They've got the little point system. I'm not going to go further into it, but it's something that has been concocted. It's been made up, a religion made up by man, where people are trying to approach God on their own terms. It is not the way God wants to be approached. It's just people make it up in the way they think God wants to be approached. Okay, let me just take this a little bit further into modern days, where we've got false religion creeping in. And this is war, my friends. It is war. It's a war of ideas. And this is where it all comes from, right from the beginning of Genesis, where we've got Cain and Abel. And Cain, did it his way and failed and got really angry about it. So angry that he killed his brother, Abel. Abel was dead and Cain was alive. Because Cain didn't like that Abel was pleasing to God and that his religion wasn't there. So his thinking was, maybe Cain, okay, all you've got is like my old folks. And I'm not sure how many people have been born at this time. Maybe I'm sure there were a lot more around, when this happened. But we don't know. We don't know the story. But anyway, he thought, okay, I'm going to kill Abel. Yeah, and then I'm the only one that's left. And then you better like my sacrifice. Otherwise, you don't get any at all. Maybe that was the thinking Oh, it was just blind rage and jealousy. And that was the end of it. Let me just take it further. We've got people today who make up their own religions. They do it their way. They are withdrawing themselves from the Word of God. And we find them within the church, and we find them outside the church, but having some sort of pseudo-Christian facade, pseudo-Christian facade they display, and they try to, you know, lead people astray. One of them I'm thinking of is a lot of the TV preachers who come up with the new anointing and the new this and the new that. And people are falling over right, left and center. And then you just do a little bit of a check. Yeah? You go back and you kind of think, is this really what the Bible is talking about? And you try to look where this has happened in the Bible, and it's nowhere there. And what you find suddenly is that there's a different religion coming up. You know, it is not what is necessarily in the Bible. I'm not saying that they're all evil or satanically inspired, even though I'm saying some of them are, and I'm convinced of that. And the problem is that the people fall for them. People fall for them. I mean, Jesus warned us. He said there's going to be so much deception around that even, you know, the elect, those who are called out, those who have been chosen by God, even that they would be deceived if that were possible. But we have got the alarm bells, we've got discernment, and we have got the Spirit of God just warning us and guiding us. Let me just say at this point that not everything that is spiritual is from God. Not everything that's supernatural is from God. A lot of it is within Christian circles, and hopefully, I wished all of it would be, but it's not necessarily the case. And again, you have to bear in mind that Jesus is going to chuck people into hell, and they were healing the sick and throwing out demons, but they just didn't know Jesus. And that's what we read in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's very, very, very important to sort of bear this in mind and to just keep our eyes open. Another sort of nouveau religion, which sort of sounds all good and nice and very positive, and I'm going to mention names as well now, because you need to be warned. There are some rumors around that she's going to try and take on Trump in the next presidential election. I don't know whether this is true. I know I serve a God who, against all the odds, got a guy in to stop Jezebel getting to her throne. And he can do it again. He can do it again, even though this woman is very charismatic and very much loved and liked within America. The woman is Oprah Winfrey and her new church, where she, comes up with her awakening, you know, and awakening the inner self, the inner eye, that there are many ways to God, according to her. And, I recently saw that she had got a couple of pastors there who were all, you know, in favor of the gay agenda. Again, I've got nothing against gay people. And if you are gay out there, I want to invite you to really seek Jesus, to join us, to be one of us, to be one of those who are driven by the Spirit of God. And to define yourself not by your sexuality, but by your, by belonging to the living God. The rest, in your life, what is wrong and what is right, God is going to deal with this. And just to make this clear, but the Bible is very clear about lifestyles. There are lifestyles which are okay, and there are lifestyles which are not okay. And she's just getting all these pastors on the show, and they're just endorsing all this stuff and saying, oh, yeah, they're all for it, and, we need to be embracing, and we need to be nice, and all this stuff. And she pumps this right out there. And a lot of people take on board what she's saying, and she seems to have an awful lot of power. I go within the church, and there are guys like T.D. Jakes and others who invite this woman on their on their big conferences, you know, to give them a little bit more street cred. My friends, what we find here is that people try to approach God on their own terms. People say, you know, we know what is good and what is right. We need to be nice to everybody, you know. If somebody pursues a sinful lifestyle, that's okay because God has made him this way. And we need to embrace it and celebrate it. And that is what these people are saying. And if you don't embrace it and celebrate it, you are a bigot and you are evil and we cannot have fellowship with you. And as a matter of fact, we need to drag you into court and convict you of one thing or another and put you to prison. That is the spirit that is coming out, an anti-Christian spirit, where we find the spirit of Cain in these people, where they want to serve God and please God in their own way. They don't want to approach God on his terms. And his terms are very clear. We've got the Bible, we've got the New Testament. And the New Testament is not very hard to understand. The Bible is not very hard to understand. There are a few things which are a bit tricky if you just come to Christ and you've got a sort of a mindset that's been shaped by this modern philosophy, by modern humanism. But my friends, what you need to look at is that there is everything you need to know in your relationship with God is in the Bible. And if you struggle with certain parts of it and you struggle to understand it, you need to, in amateur radio, we've got this expression like an Elmer. You know, an Elmer is somebody who has been dealing with the aspects of amateur radio, of this hobby of building transmitters and communicating and using different modes, who's been doing this for years, yeah, and who can coach somebody who's very new to it and introduce him to all the in sort of all the little things, the little sort of difficult things, and give him a little bit of guidance. And that's what we need within Christianity as well, where you should look for somebody, you know, somebody who has got some experience, who's been walking with the Lord for a number of years, who has been through the highs and through the lows, who has been reading the Word and knows what is where and how it all fits together. And spend time with them and just ask questions. Just ask questions. That's a little bit like the whole thing about Jewish education, where the concept of Jewish education is you don't teach the kids the knowledge, you teach the kids to ask questions to then obtain the knowledge. And when you look at Nobel Prize winners and top scientists and so on, you'd be surprised that a very vast percentage, a very high percentage of those people right at the top are Jewish. Yeah. And that's maybe partly because of this educational system they've been using for thousands of years. I mean, they use this in the upbringing of their kids, and they've done this for thousands of years. And that is what we need to apply within our churches as well, within our Christian concept. Okay, we're coming to the end. Now, we are at war. You need a war room. I need a war room. We all need to have little places where we collect information and where we start confronting what is going on in this world. And today we were talking about false religious system, and we were looking a little bit of the history of, of false religion. On the next talk, we're going to be looking at the Nephilim and Nimrod and some of the stuff that's going on there. And it's very, very important that we get our relationship with God right. It's important that we understand where we stand with God. It's important that we approach God on the terms God wants us to approach him. And that is in the New Testament, not through, you know, going out there getting a sheep and slaughtering it. Those times are over. They were prophetically pointing to Christ. The ultimate sacrifice has been done. So what we should do is we should get out there and invite Jesus in our lives. In Revelation it says that, he knocks on the door of our hearts, and if anyone asks him to come in, he will come in, you know, and he will come in your heart. You know. And it's important, and I want to challenge you today, you know, if you're not sure where you stand with Jesus Christ, to just call out to him. And when you hear the knocking at the door of your heart, to just let him in. to just let him in. And we are talking about serious issues here. This is heaven and hell stuff. This is stuff which is very, 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 very important. So I want you to not forget about it and not to get negligent in this area. Okay, let me pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for Abel, and that Abel was a righteous man, and he approached you in the right way. And Lord, he was seeking you for the forgiveness of his sin, despite him being righteous. Lord, and so we know that we are all in the same boat, Lord. We love you, and we want to know you, and yet, Lord, we have sin in our lives, and we want to approach you in the way you want us to approach you, and we want to cast all our sin at that rugged cross of Calvary and have them covered by the blood of Christ. Lord Jesus, we seek you, and we plead your blood over our lives. And Lord, we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on our lives to convict us of sin and to lead us into righteousness. And to Lord, be before you purified and holy and sound. Lord, I pray for our listeners as well. I pray that we can discern false religion and that the warning lights will go up. I pray for discernment and for, Lord, for your spirit to work in our lives, to ring the alarm bells whenever there is false religion presenting itself in a very good way sometimes to us, that we can detect it and sniff it out and reject it, Lord, to go back to the true religion, Lord. The truth, Lord Jesus, and you said of yourself that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you, and we want to invite this truth in our lives and ask you, Lord, that you will make this truth great to us, Lord, and that we can walk in it Lord, live in it on a daily basis. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this brings us to the end of today's program. A couple of things we have to say. Number one is the views expressed on here are not necessarily the views of BPN Radio. I should have said this right at the beginning, but I didn't. Here we go. So say it now. Obviously, you can complain and let it all out. Just go to the website christianwarroom.com. And the way to do it is when you go to the posts, there are little comment sections, and you can just post anything you want. I'll see it eventually, or including everybody else. I think I have to authorize it, so I'll see it first. If it's too abusive, then probably I won't authorize it. Also, please bear in mind, I don't know whether the system works that well. So if you post something and you don't see it straight away, or it's not coming through, try again. Yeah, just try again. What else? That's a website. You can pick up other talks, past and future talks, and also you can leave a comment there as well. What else? Every night here at 11:30 on BPN Radio. I'm not quite sure how long we're going to do this until I run out of steam, I guess, but we will see. I think it's important, and as I mentioned before, think about having your own war room where you create a project of getting the gospel out, and that is what this is all about, yeah, and highlighting problems the church is dealing with. Okay, I need to play the outro. God bless and bye-bye from Michael here at BPN Radio.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Schonborn. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.